Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians dropped both sides of a split squad games yesterday in Arizona, lost to the Cubs and to the Giants at Goodyear. Good news out of the game against Chicago is that Logan Allen went two innings and looked pretty good, didn't give up a run or anything like that. Over in Goodyear, Tanner Bibee gave up a two-run home run in the first inning and then settled in, faced nine batters there. What do you take away from those two losses, and not just looking necessarily at the score, but beyond that, with you know, some of the performances of the guys who were at the plate there in those games?
Yeah, Joe. You know, I think they swung the bats pretty well. They out-hit the Giants, you know, 13-10, and they were right there with the Cubs. What, they lose 5-3, but the Cubs, what, hit three home runs and beat them. So, you know, offensively, I think it was a, you know, a decent weekend. You know, Angel Martinez is having a great spring. What's he at? 571, 8 for 14, 2 for 5. You know, so, you know, that's encouraging. And you think about a guy like that, Joe, where does he fit? Is he really kind of competing for the shortstop job, or is he, you know, obviously he's put himself on the radar here, but, you know, does he have a chance to make the big league club? I'm curious.
Well, and it's not just maybe not just as an infielder, but he's also been working out in the outfield. It sounds like he's sort of taking that Jose Ramirez approach and saying, hey, any way I can get on this roster and get at bats, I'm going to do it. And it sounds like that's what he's been up to, because he's been taking time in the outfield. When he's been getting in games, though, it's been as an infielder. And that's probably where he's most comfortable. But this is a guy who, you know, another guy, I believe he's the son of Sandy Martinez, a former big league catcher, spent some time with Chicago. This is a guy who's got that pedigree. So, you know, it doesn't feel like big league spring training is too big of a moment for this guy. He's out there and he's been showing a little bit of surprising power. And as far as prospects go, you know, he's on the 40-man roster. He should be a guy who's in the mix here. When you're looking at some sort of utility, maybe infield position, maybe pushing a guy like a Tyler Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, this is a switch hitter, Joe. I remember talking to this Martinez during the COVID year. He's just really an engaging kid, you know, nice kid to talk to. And like you said, his dad played in the big leagues. I mean, he's had uncles playing, you know, so he's coming from a baseball family. And, you know, I asked him once, did you want to be a catcher like your father? And he said, my dad wouldn't let me catch. So he was his, you know, he got a head start on the game there. But, Joe, he had a big game Saturday against Kansas City. Home run, you know, he had, you know, drove in three runs with a homer and a single and a sacrifice fly. You know, this is a strong kid too. He's, you know, somebody said they were kind of comparing him to Jose Ramirez when Jose first came up, but he's bigger than Jose, and he looks stronger than Jose. Jose was, you know, he wasn't much taller. I mean, he was about as tall as he is now, and he was, you know, he was about 20 pounds lighter, but this kid he's put together, and he caught my eye. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, and the question is, where would he fit if you know, if there was a spot for him on the roster? And really, it's that utility role that he's got to be targeting. But the versatility to be able to maybe take an inning or two in the outfield as well, that can only help him if that's where he's been, you know, putting in a little time, putting in a little work. Speaking of prospects with surprising power or emerging power. Davison De Los Santos had two hits yesterday, drove in a run. He's got his, you know, batting average up to 200 in the Cactus League, but this is a guy who's been getting a lot of opportunities. they're definitely trying to give him as much of a look as they possibly can at every opportunity in camp.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's probably taken a little bit away from his offense. Don't you think, Joe, if you're playing the outfield for the first time, you know, you're going in, you're playing right field, you're working out a little bit in left field, then you're going from first to third. You know, so you've got that on your mind, and you're also trying to hit, and you're also trying to make a club. So, you know, he's got a lot going on, and anything he gives you offensively is probably gravy right now, because, you know, they're just, I think they're making up their, you know, there's a lot more things going into this decision than just, you know, his batting average and how many runs he drives in this this spring.
Right. It's almost like that stuff is, the statistics are immaterial. It's more like, you know, he has to pass a certain eye test, and that's, he's doing everything right by all accounts. He's you know, done everything they've asked of him. It's just, is it going to be enough to get him strong enough consideration to make that final roster? That remains to be seen. Again, we always check in on Chase DeLauder, Kyle Manzardo, the biggest names in terms of prospect watching in this camp. DeLauder, you know, had another nice weekend, as did Manzardo. I believe Manzardo had a hit yesterday. You know, what do you think the chances are either one of those guys is on that first flight to Oakland?
Yeah, Joe, I don't know, but DeLauder is he's eye opening, man. You know, when was the last time, you know, this early in camp, they've, you know, the decision is made to keep a kid like him that has never been on the 40 man, that's never really been through a complete spring training, and keep him in big league camp while, you know, the rest of the depth camp guys, you know, go, you know, start their minor league spring training in anticipation of starting their seasons. DeLauder's still with the big league club. So, you know, that's something to, you know, take note of. He's hitting 500, 4-for-8. You know, every time he swings the bat, it's really exciting to me. And Manzardo's hitting 444, you know, making good contact. Even, you know, he's hitting balls hard, you know, that are outs, but he's still making contact. So both guys have been really impressive. As far as making the ball club, you know, I still think probably Manzardo's chances are better than DeLauder's, but mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and as far as the timing of things right now, with the off day on Monday today, you would expect maybe that they start making some early cuts at some point here in the next couple of days, coming back you know, to camp in terms of sending you know, some of the depth guys, some of the younger guys down, so that they can begin their regular routine with the minor league camp. But maybe DeLauder and Manzardo get to stick at least another extra week, maybe, just so that you could get a feel for them and have them get a feel for being around the big league club a little more.
Oh, yeah, I think so for sure. I think these guys are going to get a long look. They could be in camp even, you know, one of the deals that were, okay, you know, maybe, you know, with five – maybe a week left in camp, they tell him, okay, you're not going to make the club, but we're going to keep you in big league camp here. We, you know, cause we appreciate what you've done, this spring. And then, you know, then they go to AAA or AA or wherever they're going.
As far as, another couple of names that, have made impressions so far in camp, Alexfri Planez is a name that we've heard a little bit, as far as prospects go, but, really haven't seen much of him. And then yesterday he continued. I mean, he's had hits in the last couple of games that he's played in. He's a, you know, bigger guy than I thought he was, actually. And it looks like he's a solid prospect there.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, and he's, you know, he's kind of one of those guys that comes in, you know, around the fifth inning as a defensive replacement, but that hasn't stopped him from swinging a bat. And, you know, when you looked at his minor league career, you know, he's a hitter. I mean, right now he's hitting 556, 5-for-9, 3 RBIs. So he's taking advantage of every chance he gets. So, you know, that's encouraging. Now, is there a place for him on a big league club? I doubt it. but he's certainly opened some eyes, and not just, you know, with Cleveland, but, you know, the 29 other ball clubs. So, you know, you just don't know, you know, you just don't know until you see guys and you put your eyes on them and you know, they get an opportunity to play against the best competition.
Yeah, he's had hits in four of the five games that he's played in. Multiple hits in yesterday's game. He had two. So and it's not just I mean, he's hitting doubles. He's got you know, two doubles in the and it's, they're looking for power. They're looking for guys that can drive the ball. He's 6'2", 180 pounds. This is a guy who, you know, maybe they get a longer look at him and he has a chance to, you know, climb different levels of the minor league system this year. And he's only 22 years old. So I got to keep an eye on Alexfri Planez, as well as Daniel Schneeman. This is a guy who he's sort of taking the David Fry path, I think. Daniel Schneeman, a guy who will play anywhere. And whenever he does, he's making plays. Yesterday, he made a play at shortstop from the seat of his pants, throwing to second base. You know, not like I don't think he's going to be strongly considered in the competition there at shortstop. But this is a guy who can play on the infield, multiple positions. He's 27 years old. He's a little bit older than most of the prospects there in camp. You know, he drafted back in 2018. He was a 33rd round pick back in 2018. But he's got four hits and 12 at bats, including a home run, four RBIs. Schneeman is sort of one of those guys that sort of goes anywhere and does anything you ask him.
Yeah, you look at his numbers at AAA last year, Joe, and they were really solid. I mean, this is a good hitter, kind of an under-the-radar guy, you know, against Kansas City over the weekend. Like you said, he hit a three-run homer. You know, he had two hits in that game. So, you know, he can play third. He can play short. You know, he bounced around the diamond. Interesting guy, and a little bit older, like you were saying, for a minor leaguer. But, you know, I think what you do here now, what these guys make an impression now, you know, that could help them, you know, sometime during the season, if, mm-hmm. you know, the opportunity arises, you know, that you get a chance to get called up and get to the big leagues.
There's always one call up at some point during the summer months and the dog days of the season. There's always one call up where it's like, oh, we're going to see that guy. I remember him from training camp. And, you know, maybe Schneeman's that guy that's a surprise call up at some point just to get a look at him. Who knows? But I want to let our listeners know, if you're tuning in here, the best way to get instant updates sent to your phone is through our subtext subscription texting service. Guardian Subtext is available for $3.99 a month. If you want to subscribe, go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346 to sign up and get the latest updates from Hoynes and from me throughout the baseball season. Hoynesy, Bo Naylor has been the mystery man, hasn't been heard from since he missed some time with back spasms, and he's been sidelined. What's the latest? What are you hearing? And when can we expect to maybe see Bo Naylor back in the lineup? Or do we expect to see Bo Naylor back in the lineup anytime soon?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, Joe. Not being out there, you can't really, you know, put your hands on it. You wrap your hands around it. But, you know, he was supposed to play last Monday against San Diego. He was going to DH, but he was scratched with back spasms, and we haven't seen him since. There was a report in the Guardian's notes that he had been cleared to catch sim games on Thursday, but I don't think he did. You know, from what I heard, you know, there was a question. It was questionable if he caught. And then, you know, the next day the note said, you know, he has been cleared to stretch. He's been cleared to throw at 90 feet. He's been, you know, he can take up to 40 swings. And, you know, I would think we'll know more after this off day Monday. We'll get a better read, you know, just on where Bo is. He's only played one game, but, you know, it's still, You know, they've only played 10 spring training games. You know, there's 20 left. There's plenty of time for him to get ready. But I think we'll get a clearer read on this on Tuesday when the players come back to camp and the games resume.
Yeah, what you don't want to see is this develop into something that he has to deal with prolonged or throughout the season. Or, you know, we're talking about this in July or August that he's got to miss time that way. If there's an opportunity to rest him or to, you know, work this out so that he's not feeling it throughout the season, you know, it can be done and dealt with and over with, then, you know, you want to see that as opposed to having him, you know, either have to regularly miss games or have to go on the injured list at some point during the season because they didn't address it early on when they could have. I think the overly cautious approach is probably the best thing for Bo Naylor at this point. And that's probably, I would assume that's what they're doing, but, you know, we don't know for sure yet. As far as the pitchers coming back from injury, we saw Shane Bieber over the weekend, uncharacteristically walked a few more guys than I think he would like to in his first outing. We get to see Tristan McKenzie then coming back likely on Wednesday. What can we expect from Tristan in his debut in the Cactus League?
Yeah, this is really going to be interesting to me, Joe. This is kind of the last guy on the rotation to kind of roll out there and make, you know, pitch his debut in the desert. You know, we know Tristan has had the physical problems from last year, only making 4 starts. You know, first the teres major muscle in his right shoulder at the end of spring training, then the elbow strain in June. He came back and made the two starts at the end of the year, but he's been kind of a question mark since then. You know, I think he's thrown, you know, they brought him along slowly in spring training, but he's thrown BP, he's thrown simulated games. And now, you know, we get to see him on Wednesday. I would think everything will go okay. I don't think they'd run him out there if there was a question. But we're going to get a much clearer picture after he pitches on Wednesday. It's only going to be probably an inning, 2 innings at the most. And, you know, then we'll have a pretty clear picture of the rotation because all the 5 starters will make at least 1 start and Gavin Williams will have made 2.
Right. And, you know, we don't know. Carl Willis has his formula in terms of how many outings, how many innings, how the progression to get through the rotation a number of times. So we'll see that picture starts to sort itself out about midway through March there. And you know, we'll know who's in line to start when. But I've got to assume there's a particular target number of outings for the remainder of camp that each one of these starters has to get to. And then we'll know which, you know, where each guy stands and, you know, how they plan to use them and all that. As far as Tristan, I'm sure that he's excited and anxious to get back out there, not just to get built up, but just to be reassured in his own mind that he can go out there and do it in a major league setting.
Yeah, we talked to him at Guards Fest, Joe, and he seemed very confident that he, you know, that he had, that his elbow was fine, that he had let it go, that he'd worked really hard in spring training, you know, that he had tested it. But, you know, there's nothing like game conditions. You know, you really, you know, the adrenaline is different. The atmosphere is different. You're on the mound. There's people in the stands. You're facing, you know, hitters from another team. So all that factors into it. So that's why, you know, Wednesday is going to be an important start or important step forward for Tristan.
Right. And, you know, every one of those outings is going to be, you know, just a lot of eyes and a lot of ears following and making sure that he gets through and, you know, rebounds physically, not just the day of the start, but the next day that he comes back and reports back that everything's going fine that way. All right. Again, Guardians off today. The next game is Tuesday against Seattle in Goodyear. Like we said, Gavin Williams getting the start there should be interesting to follow here, and we'll keep track of that. Hoynes, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check in again with you on Tuesday afternoon and talk more about spring training.
All right, Joe.